Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Hormoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we continue to look at polio as a follow-up to the latest outbreak in Nigeria about 2 weeks ago. Now, I had an opportunity to speak exclusively with Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft, and along with his wife, Melinda, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, about the organization's polio initiatives in Africa and elsewhere, and I also spoke to him about his reaction to the latest polio outbreak in Nigeria. So on the first part of the program today, we have our exclusive interview with Bill Gates. Take a listen. Thank you very much, Mr. Gates, for speaking with the Voice of America. As Africa was set to celebrate 2 years without polio, two cases emerged in Nigeria. What is your reaction to this latest development?
It was very exciting that we went 2 years without any cases. And the idea that there's this area up in the northeast of Nigeria around Lake Chad where we found these two cases, that's a disappointment. We're engaged in a very aggressive effort to get vaccines out to as many children as possible in that area and get the number back down to zero. We're quite optimistic we can do that, but we're really trying to understand how we do better surveillance so we don't have a pocket like this in the future.
So in light of this development, and when we look at the big picture, it is one thing to interrupt transmission. It is another thing to stay polio-free. How does Africa sustain the hard-won gains in keeping polio at bay to be declared polio-free one day, really?
Well, the good news is that the intensity of the campaigns has been maintained. Nigeria, at one point, was over half the cases in the world, and many people said to us, hey, can you really succeed in Nigeria? If we go and look at the level of immunization, even up in the north where the health systems are more challenging, we've got that at quite a high level. So if we can get rid of this pocket, then it'll cement the change. In parallel, we're still working in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And so we feel really good about where we are despite this setback. We've got a great team up there. The government's working with us. We need to access kids, and we need for people to understand the importance of getting all the kids to take this oral polio vaccine.
And you mentioned Pakistan and Afghanistan. Could you elaborate a little more on what the foundation is doing in these two countries that are still endemic? And also a country like Ukraine that witnessed an outbreak last September.
Yeah, fortunately, the Ukraine thing looks like it's under control. So both in Nigeria and in Pakistan, Afghanistan, our main challenge is that we have kids who the vaccinators have a tough time finding. And reaching those kids in an insecure environment can be very complex. And so we really need to understand where the kids are. We need teams that are very competent going out with these vaccines. The numbers have come down in Pakistan and Afghanistan. So far this year, we've had 19 cases. So even adding the two that we just found in Nigeria, this is by far the lowest year of polio cases ever, and we're getting smarter all the time about how we find the villages, how we reach out to the traditional leaders. Obviously, we're going to need great partnership with the governments in the region, particularly up in the northeast in Borno.
Now, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has supported the campaign for a polio-free world with about $3.5 billion at least. What do you perceive as the organization's biggest accomplishments in eradicating polio?
Well, when this all started, it goes all the way back to 1988, there was a commitment to show that eradication can be done. So having success here is important, not just for polio, which is literally reducing millions of kids that would have been paralyzed, but also for building better health systems and showing us how to go after future eradications. So we're very gratified. The case numbers have come down. We've had great partnerships. Although our foundation is a big funder, we have many other very generous funders who've been our partners. And even now, as we're facing this new challenge, they're stepping up and asking how they can help out. So we're optimistic that this will become a model, just like smallpox, which is a long time ago, became a model and really drove a lot of new great work in global health.
So, Mr. Gates, an important part of the foundation's work focuses on health. As progress is being seen in fighting diseases like polio and improving immunization for children, what is the next priority in health funding for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation?
Well, our overall goal is that kids in poor countries should be as healthy as kids in the rest of the world. That is, chance of getting sick is great much lower than it is today. Their ability to get good nutrition, and so they develop physically and mentally to achieve their full potential, that's the same as kids everywhere. And so that there's a lot still to be done. The progress on things like deaths, going back in 1990, were over 12 million kids under 5 died every year. Now that number's under 6 million. So by getting new vaccines out, by improving primary health care, by educating mothers about things like breastfeeding, we have seen huge progress. There are a few other diseases like guinea worm that the number of cases is very, very small. And even a big killer like malaria, although it'll take many decades to get there, we're going to take the lessons from polio and apply that and eventually even be able to eradicate malaria.
When you look at the way healthcare is being conducted, how do you foresee the impact of technology in the future of healthcare, specifically in Africa?
It's wonderful that we have technology on our side. So the ability to ask people to go out and survey the population and see how they're being served and report back to us using something like a cell phone, we can do quality measures much better. The ability to track the supply chain and make sure the vaccines are getting out, the ability to get the word out about when these vaccine sessions are taking place. Technology is such a huge support here. And every year, as you get more cell phones, you get better network coverage, you get better biological science. That's partly why we think we can even accelerate the improvement in health in Africa. Even though the last 25 years were good, we want to do even more in the next 25 years.
And finally, Mr. Bill Gates, if we were to summarize in a way what it will take for the final push to end polio once and for all globally, what would you say?
Well, the simple thing is that if we get every kid to take the vaccine, then the disease drops to zero. And zero's, you know, really magic number, because then it means after you go through what as a three-year period of making sure you haven't missed any cases, then all the expenses to do with polio prevention, those can go down, and yet no kid will be paralyzed, no parents will have to worry about this disease, which, you know, back in its heyday was very, very, very widespread, and we have all the lessons that come out of that. So getting the coverage level up, not having large pockets of children like in that Lake Chad region that we're missing with the vaccines, that's what we have to deal with. We certainly see great progress on that in Asia, and now, you know, we've got to redouble our efforts in Africa.
Mr. Bill Gates, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And that was Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it is time to take a short break. We will continue our discussion on polio in a moment. And on the second part of the show, we will talk to Dr. Tunji Funsho, who is Rotary's National Polio Plus Committee Chair for Nigeria. But before we do that, here's the news with Sanusi Diallo.
The World Health Organization is urging countries in Eastern and Central Africa to quickly start vaccinating against yellow fever. The current outbreak has affected people in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Angola. Nearly 500 people have died and thousands have become ill. Health officials recently launched a campaign to vaccinate more than 14 million people in Angola and the DRC. The WHO said there have been no new confirmed cases in Angola in the past 6 weeks. But health experts are worried that the disease may spread the neighboring countries. The WHO is also urging other countries to launch similar mass vaccination drives. Yellow fever is a mosquito-borne disease that, among its symptoms, causes fever, vomiting, and fatigue. Researchers may have discovered a method of detecting changes in the eyes which could identify Parkinson's disease before its symptoms develop. Scientists at University College London say the early animal test could lead to a cheap and non-invasive way to spot the disease. Parkinson affects 1 in 500 people and is the second most neurodegenerative disease worldwide. The charity Parkinson UK welcomed the research as a significant step. The researcher examined rats and found that change could be seen at the back of the eyes before visible symptoms occur. And that's the wrap-up of the latest health news.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us today, we are discussing polio. Now, on the second part of the show, we are very glad to be joined by Dr. Tunji Fucho. He is Rotary's National Polio Plus Committee Chair for Nigeria. Dr. Fucho, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you join us today all the way from Nigeria. Listen, Dr. Fucho, we heard Mr. Bill Gates speak earlier about the situation with regards to the outbreak that happened in Nigeria a couple of weeks ago, and also the way forward somehow. Can you give us your feedback in terms of what his reaction was, and also even the type of collaborative efforts that is taking the Rotary International and organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to fight polio?
With the first question, I mean, the initial reaction, you know, when the news broke about 3 weeks ago now, was that of shock and disappointment, that we thought we were almost there. We just, 3 weeks previously, you know, had celebrated 3 years in the polio-free country. But after the initial shock and disappointment, you know, it dawned on us that there was not a race against time. It was a race to immunize every child, you know, on the planet against polio and ensure that no child ever again succumbs to the disease. And thereafter, we have set in motion, you know, our emergency response, you know, procedures to ensure that it is contained within that particular environment and that is further. And we have had an initial response around the local government areas that were involved, Gere and Greater. And currently, we are planning to have the first, you know, series of outbreak countries that is on this Saturday. It has been a great partnership. I think, you know, in the history of, you know, health initiatives in the world, this might be the greatest private, you know, public partnership for as a health intervention to the world has ever seen. And so, this is what has brought us this far, and we are quite confident that with all partners coming in, you know, and lending a hand, we would be able to keep a lead on this particular outbreak in the northeastern part of the country.
Okay. Now you talk about the fact that it's disappointing, of course, to have seen these two outbreaks when Nigeria had done 2 years in July without the any polio cases and was 1 year away. Africa was also ready to celebrate 2 years without polio. Now, what can you tell us in terms of the general sentiment in Nigeria and where things are now?
The way I like to look at this is an opportunity because we have always said, in fact, when we celebrated this year with our polio, we were cautioning against consistency and also telling, you know, all partners and government, people in general, that, you know, surveillance remains a very key component of us getting to a polio-free country. And also the fact that with immunization, would be the cornerstone of our eventual, you know, satisfaction of being a polio-free country and a polio-free world. So currently, one is confident that we have another opportunity to put the lead on areas that hitherto really we are not confident we are reaching every child, particularly since these particular areas have been under occupation by insurgency. And quite recently, and indeed, we know that the two cases are cases that have come out from occupied areas into IDP camps. So we're not absolutely surprised because we have always said we needed a very robust surveillance system. And we couldn't have a robust surveillance system in an environment that didn't have access. So, it's a timely thing that is happening now rather than when we have been certified polio-free.
Yeah.
We started to live somewhere to take our legacy from polio to address, you know, other diseases, as Mr. Bill was saying, you know, malaria, malnutrition and so on. So I believe that it has given us an opportunity to address, number one, the issue of mischildren, which we knew existed, and also to further strengthen our surveillance system to ensure that, you know, we don't miss any case of a child, you know, who is infected or affected, you know, by the polio virus.
Now, the area that the outbreak has been seen is in the northeast. As you mentioned, it's an area that has seen Boko Haram activities and is not that secure. How does the government ensure security in that area, even in times of vaccination campaigns?
Previously, we had vaccination teams escorted, you know, by the military in areas that are categorized, you know, variously as areas that are accessible, partially accessible, moderately accessible, and absolutely accessible. What we're bringing to the table now with the initiative of the government is actually to bring the Minister of Defense in and bring the Army Medical Corps in to actually go into those areas that are inaccessible to civilians, to get the Nigerian Army Medical Corps to actually do the immunization in these areas. So that is one major thing that is being brought to the table. The other thing, of course, is that the partners this time are going to go into the northeastern part of the country, particularly, Borno, Yobe, Adamawa, Taraba, and Gombe State, with lots of resources, human in particular, and also material resources, to ensure that we have very high quality immunization intervention this time around, and replicate that in the four other are those response we're going to have before the end of the year. If we can do that, and which we have the logistics on ground to do, that will ensure that we cap the outbreak to those areas alone, so they don't go beyond this particular area, that is Borno and the five surrounding states. In addition, we have intergovernmental, that is at the international level, cooperation. So it's a task force that was set up even before the outbreak to address the issue of cross-border synchronized immunization activities between ourselves and our immediate neighbors, particularly Northern Cameroon, Chad, and Niger Republic. That is going to happen again during this outbreak response. Such that the fear of international spread will be cut. And we hope that as we move along to subsequent outbreak responses, this will become less and less, you know, of a danger.
And Nigeria has come a long way from being a polio endemic country to being removed from the list by the WHO in September of last year. What do you see as some of the milestones or perhaps some of the elements that were really helping in achieving this success that Nigeria was able to achieve? Because initially it was Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria that were polio endemic for a while, and then Nigeria was taken off the list. So what are perhaps some of the lessons learned that you could share with us?
I think, you know, one of the major lessons, I always say, is an African proverb that says you cannot save a man's head in his absence. The renewed commitment of the government, you know, to ownership of the program by the formation of the Presidential Task Force on Immunization, with its operational arm as the Emergency Operations Center, helped to galvanize and also bring all the partners under one roof. The Gates Foundation were very instrumental to helping us to set up these emergency operations centers in Abuja, the national one, and seven in seven of the high-risk states in the north. This became like a war where all the technical people in the partnership, and different experts, you know, from the partnership group, the Gates Foundation, the WHO, UNICEF, CDC, and WIPI get together regularly, two, three times a week, to assess the progress of polymerization, look at the challenges, and offer solutions to challenges, and sometimes proactively put down measures that will, you know, help us to surmount any, you know, challenges that we may foresee in the future. That is one great step that has helped us, and we saw the effect of that since it was set up early around April of 2012. And we gradually saw how the disease burden of polio, you know, plummeted from about 123 cases gradually to less than 60, and then, you know, ending up with 6 cases in 2014. That was a major one. And, of course, you know, funding. I think here I should mention, you know, the great help that the Gates Foundation has rendered, specifically, you know, to WIPI International, you know, by matching on a two-to-one, up to the tune of $35 million of funds that WIPI International spent on polio eradication. So therefore, in the last couple of years, and going up to 2018, the Gates Foundation will be making available to us $70 billion, specifically for polio eradication activities. And that has helped us tremendously to fund some of our programs in our polio eradication efforts. And the Gates Foundation has been a major advocate, even with our government, to ensure that, you know, the government commitment continues.
And speaking of partnerships, as you mentioned, the Gates Foundation, the Global Polio Eradication Initiatives that was launched in 1988 has been successful in reducing polio cases by at least 99%. That's a very good percentage when we talk about success rate, right? Okay. And when the Rotary has been at the forefront of the fight against polio for a long time, really, what has been the role of the Rotary? We've seen Rotary members on the field, you know, going around. And can you expand a little more on what the Rotary is doing concretely in terms of fighting polio?
Well, you know, I classify our activities into three major segments. One is advocacy. We have been at the forefront. You know, our first advocatorial effort was with WHO, to get WHO to accept, you know, the challenge of polio eradication. And after that, of course, as you know, the World Health Assembly, you know, formalizing the GPI, so that governments of the world, you know, will accept that polio, you know, is a major health issue that needed to be eradicated. And since then, we have been advocating with governments of the world to fund polio. A major government, United States, the governments of Canada, Japan, European Union, and many other governments around the world have been contributing to ensure that resources, financial resources, are made available. And we continue to do that on a regular basis, and that's advocacy. We also, of course, you know, continue to raise funds. Rotarians raise funds amongst themselves, they raise funds among their corporate friends, raise funds among their, you know, individual friends to ensure that we meet our targets as far as our need for financial resources for polio education is concerned. Of course, we also encourage our government in Nigeria, both at the federal level and the state level, to meet up, you know, with whatever promises they have made in terms of funding the program. And finally, very, very importantly, this is where, you know, the power of our being on ground in every corner of the country, in every corner of the world, is that Rotarians participate in educational activities. going out either to help supervise or monitor and also participate in vaccination activities. We have Rotarians from around the world coming to Nigeria doing NID to raise the profile of the program from the countries as far apart from Nigeria, as the United States, Canada, Germany, India, just to mention a few. Operationally, we're on ground everywhere. Like this weekend, many Rotarians are going to be in Borno State to assist with monitoring and supervising and giving a helping hand wherever it's needed to ensure that we have very high quality activity in Borno and the surrounding states come this weekend.
Now, it's one thing, and this is a question I asked Mr. Gates. It's one thing to be to have no polio cases for a few years, as we've seen with Nigeria, with Africa, 2 years, almost 2 years for Africa. Nigeria passed 2 years, passed by a few days or a month, weeks. And it's one thing to be polio-free. It's another thing to keep polio at bay so that it does not come back. And how do you foresee, now that the clock has been reset, so to speak, with Nigeria, we need 3 years for a country to be declared polio-free, and then now we're going back to zero, and Nigeria has to wait 3 more years. How do you foresee the next 3 years to achieve that goal?
I see the outbreak as a kind of blessing, for what we were, planning to ensure, because the endgame strategy is going to be hinged on routine immunization to ensure that, we get to a level of at least 90% of our children having access to routine immunization for polio and also other childhood diseases. This extra time really will ensure that we get to that point of children being immunized enough that even if there's polio in any other part of the world and it finds itself, in our shores, our children will not be susceptible to the polio infection again. So that is one thing. It is giving us time, and the government has given us assurance that they're committed to build, the routine immunization infrastructure. And that's another area where the Gates Foundation, in collaboration with Dangote Foundation here, have been assisting in some of the high-risk states in the north by partnering with the government to strengthen immunization infrastructure, both in structural terms and also in building human capacity.
Okay.
So these are things that once we get there, then, the threat of a polio virus coming around and infecting children will become less and less. Because that by the time Nigeria is once again declared polio-free, the danger of infection will be very, very minimal.
Okay.
Because the children will have immunity against the virus.
Okay. Dr. Tunji Funcho, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
And we thank our guest, Dr. Tunji Funcho, who is Rotary's National Polio Plus Committee Chair for Nigeria. We also thank Mr. Bill Gates, who spoke to us about the polio situation, and we spoke to him much earlier during the week, last week. Thank you so much to all our listeners for joining us today. I'm your host, Lina Omudu, in Washington, D.C., with producer Jackson Vunganyi and Sanusi Diallo for the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.